And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg and Mark Mulcahy.
And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, relationships, and life itself. We are your hosts, Helga Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
Thank you for all the comments and questions that we've received. Monique from Toronto, Canada, writes us, I found An Organic Conversation a few months ago on the internet and have every single show now on my iPod. Every time I need an hour to ground myself, I listen to an episode. The work you guys do and the space you create is precious and rare and much needed in this fast-paced, seemingly superficial world. I work for the Toronto government, and I can assure you that changes are happening. Education about these topics is key, and we are working on a new food policy for the entire Toronto area, emphasizing local and organic food production. I am pulling many of my arguments in this conversation from An Organic Conversation. Thank you again for your passion and wisdom. Thank you so much, Monique from Toronto. Should I read that again, Mark?
You did a beautiful job the first time.
Changes are happening. It's actually amazing that in this movement, you cannot undo education. You know, we can't roll it back once you get it, once you hear the story, once you see the connection and connections. There's no turning back to how things were.
And that's, you know, that critical thought process, or just that, you know, we always talk about inviting people to the dance, and, you know, the change that's happening out there. It's interestingly enough, I was reading an article the other day about there's budget cuts in Paris, and they're saying, okay, where do we cut money? And they said they absolutely refused to cut the school lunch program, because the school lunch program, the students every day, they get up from their chairs, they go to a table that has linen and plates on it, and they describe each thing that the students are going to eat. So this starts when they're in preschool all the way up. And not only do they describe it, but they have courses set down. And then the parents who come to school, they say, and we think that tonight for dinner, a compliment to this lunch would be. And so they create this whole conversation around food. And beautiful. Where I want to go with that is a friend of mine was telling me that his kids are in preschool now. And now there's a garden in that preschool, and those kids eat from that garden. And so these positive changes that, you know, that was being talked about in the email is happening in these little small increments.
And everywhere.
Everywhere around the world, where people are saying that food and the relationship to food is more important than something else that they didn't consider important before.
Yes.
And which is going to lead into some of today's show here. We have
There was an economic report a few weeks ago, and the economic viability of the Chicago area moving to a local food system would add about $30 billion to the overall economy.
Really?
Because of the ripple effect, $30
billion. $30 billion.
So imagine what it would mean for California, right, where we are the kind of heart and the bread basket of the nation.
Well, just even one incredible city. I mean, the state right. of California would be is full of possibility, and I love that.
Associated services, businesses, everything, $30 billion for the Chicago.
And what would it do for the future of our society?
Yes, and it's happening truly everywhere. Here in the Bay Area, I went to having dinner at a hotel, the Clift Hotel, or the W for that matter. And sitting down having dinner, I looked at the menu, and I knew personally half of the farmers on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
So even institutions, even hotels, even hotel chains are now going local and organic, and going the extra mile, making that commitment. So
recognizing
amazing,
that value.
Amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. Some interesting marketing idea in that sense is restaurants here in San Francisco and in the Bay Area. There's now a new form of CSA. It's called the Rogue Market. It's a CSA program where you basically in that week sign up for your box. You get, you know, a great, great value. And then the box is delivered to your favorite restaurant in your area for 2 hours once a week. And then you pick it up there and, you know, ideally have dinner afterwards, or just go there and pick it up. But so restaurants are opening up their space for a couple hours, the entryway or their front plaza, to run these two-hour CSA drop-off spots, offer that to farmers. For more information on that, go to County Line Harvest. They came up with that idea. CountyLineHarvest.com, the rogue market concept. Get your personal CSA box delivered to your favorite restaurant here in the city in San Francisco. Incredible.
And so, if it works so here, creative. Then it could go other places. And there's restaurants in every community,
that's
right? So what a great idea.
Very creative. Fantastic. If you have a comment or question, please email us at share@anorganicconversation.com. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Helper.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we are very excited about our guest today. So we are talking about eco-literacy, especially in youth, and the efforts to build a healthier food system from field to table. More on that when we come back right after the break. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation as part of The Green Morning, an entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy. The Green Morning every Saturday from 9 to 12:30 here on Green 960. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we are talking about eco-literacy and the efforts to build a healthier food system from field to table, starting with youth. With us in the studio is Mary Ann Brooks, Urban Youth Development Coordinator at Pi Ranch, an organization dedicated to inspire and connect rural and urban people, and specifically youth, to know the source of their food. Welcome to the show, Mary Ann.
Thank you.
Tell us more about Pi Ranch. You are in Pescadero on the beautiful Highway 1 coast from San Francisco to Santa Cruz. How did this start? What's Pi Ranch like?
Well, I guess I would say first is that Pi Ranch is a little slice of heaven.
As pie often is.
As pie often is. And most people that visit, including the youth, fall in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a magical quality to the place and the land and the history and what we're able to do in a very short amount of time with the young people that we bring there. And in terms of how it started, I wasn't there when it started, the exact time and date, but I had the opportunity to work with both Nancy and Jared, who are the farmers there and owners at the UC Farm and Garden Apprenticeship Program about 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an apprentice there. I came from Brooklyn, New York, and I was looking for...
That's quite a change. Did you wonder where you landed when you...
I was in the Big Apple, and I was just looking for something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I landed there. I got a scholarship, so I was able to participate in the six-month apprenticeship program. And at the time, Nancy was the farm manager.
Why food? What inspired you to even look into food production systems?
I had been doing urban gardening with youth, and
in Brooklyn, in New York.
Actually, I wasn't doing it in New York. I had taken a break when I went to New York, and. I had been doing it in Oakland and San Francisco about a year and a half before I went to New York. And I left San Francisco with the dot-com boom. And I'm an artist, so at that time, a lot of artists were being evicted. And I was living in an artist collective, and we were being evicted. And so I moved to Brooklyn to do art and dance. And so But I gave myself a way out by applying to the UC Farm and Garden program as an alternative.
To come back.
To come back.
We understand.
Another option. And as much as I love New York and all the opportunities that, you know, it presented to me as an artist, having the opportunity to be in this program kind of superseded that lifestyle.
Well, it is, education is art.
Right.
To a fair degree, right? To
exactly.
A large degree. And UC Farm and Garden, so that's a half year. A few of the interns actually stay longer over winter and then mm-hmm. are the teachers for next year. A half year, 8 months program at UC Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, Nancy Vail, the founder of Pi Ranch, was the education manager, right?
Or yeah, she was the was she exactly was the education there. And farm manager
yeah.
for the actual part of the farm that was a mechanized tillage. So it was the part of the farm that was more about
real agriculture, not
agricultural farming with, you know, tractors. And
then there's a gardening part where you learn more the horticulture, hands-on.
Right, the intensive style of gardening where you can, you know, apply that to an urban gardening situation.
Mm-hmm. And that program has birthed a lot of great farmers, a lot of great educators, including you.
Mm-hmm.
Then Nancy and Jared went on to start Pi Ranch. Why Pi Ranch? Why the name? Tell us about the land a little bit.
The land, yeah. Well, it's funny because I did keep in touch with Nancy and Jared, and at one point Nancy was like, we found this land, and it's in the shape of a pie. And so we're going to call it Pi Ranch, and we're going to make it an educational farm, and we're going to grow the ingredients necessary to make pie so that kids can learn about where their food comes from that way. And I was like, wow, that's a great idea. And that was the seed that had been planted in my brain probably about 2 years before they started. And then because we're such a connected community between the folks that are doing urban gardening in San Francisco, the alumni of UC Farm and Garden, and then Jared and Nancy are really well connected. I just heard through the grapevine what they were doing. And finally, just last year, I went to visit because I had, at that point, been back in San Francisco and doing gardening with other schools. And I saw firsthand what they were doing, and it was, incredible. And I said, look, Nancy, I'm really support what you're doing, and I'm working in the city with youth, and if you ever need help, just call me.
And she did.
You're listening, 6 months later.
You're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today our guest here in the studio is Mary Ann Brooks, Urban Youth Development Coordinator at Pi Ranch, a farm and organization dedicated to inspire and connect rural and urban youth to know the source of their food.
So, Mary Ann, you work with two or three different high schools, right?
Yes.
And bring them out to the farm.
Mm-hmm.
But each of the programs, there's more than one program that you do. You have, English learners who you're bringing out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have other high school programs that you're doing. Could you explain a little bit about the programs that you're working with?
Sure. So, currently, I'm working specifically in the Mission District of San Francisco, where I live, at Mission High School and also at John O'Connell High School. And Mission High School has had a parking lot that they turned into a garden.
Hooray!
With the help of Pi Ranch and some other organizations. And most recently with California College for the Arts, we had 20 college students come and build from the ground up a garden with the youth at Mission High School. So that was really exciting. And they did a mural.
That's how things change right there.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. How wonderful.
Yeah.
So you're working in the Mission District directly with garden programs, greening and bringing food into cafeterias. What's the connection to Pi Ranch? How do you get, who's paying you, and how do you bring them back to the farm, and what do they learn there?
So what we do is we've partnered with these two schools, and we share in the expenses of the field trips and of me being there and educating youth around issues of food justice. So issues that come up within their community around access to food. And then they get this experience of going to the farm, and all of that costs money. So Pie Ranch has been able to get some funding for that, although we need more, to transport youth to the farm. And they get to be there and have and spend a day where they harvest and cook their own food. They harvest, if it's strawberry season, they'll harvest the strawberries, and then they'll use the wheat that's grown at Pie Ranch or the neighboring farm, make the pie right there, and have a feast. And this is in a period of about 4 hours.
Wow.
So they get to actually experience the direct connection at the farm, and then we connect that. I go back to school with them and connect that to their gardens at their schools, and how, you know, the whole ecosystem works, whether it's urban or rural, and we're just trying to make those connections.
You're actually baking pies.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Oh, sorry, I was daydreaming about pie there for a second.
Yeah, favorite dessert. My next question would be, did you bring any? But
that's my favorite dessert is pie. Now the kids come out, and so do you speak Spanish?
I don't. A little bit, but not.
But the English learners come out, and so that's a different program than you're doing with the seniors at some other schools, right?
Well, we have English learners, predominantly English learners at the school, at Mission High School.
Okay.
And it's a class that we call the Garden Advisory class. It's just a class dedicated to working with organizations like Pie Ranch and also working within the garden at their school.
Okay.
And then at John O'Connell, there's a mix of classes that I work with. So there's one class that I work with that's English language learners, and then there's a health class that I work with. And depending on the teacher, we build the curriculum as it relates to what that teacher is teaching. So I was working with a science teacher, I was working with a health teacher, and we connect everything that I'm working with at Pie Ranch with their curriculum. And so it's more of a collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how do you bring into the English class agriculture? Like, what's the connection? How do you do that?
Well, specifically, I haven't been working with an English class, but I've been working with a health class and a science class. And then, like I said, the garden advisory. And I think next year I'll be working with a history class. So,
but you bring in food on all these levels.
Yeah, we always bring in food.
How would you do that?
So one example in the garden advisory class, for example, there's a track in that particular class, a career track. And we presented to the students an idea of, what would it be like if you decided to start your own business as a career? And they were like, well, we don't know, you know. So I asked the owner of Mission Pie, Karen Heisler, to come in and talk about her business. And so they talked about her business, and after they kind of got an idea of what it would be like to start a business and the challenges of that, they were like, well, we want to try selling something. And she's like, well, what would you like to sell? And they said, well, what do high school students like to eat? And they're like, well, junk. And but we figured out that they might be open to having Satsuma oranges.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so they got some boxes of oranges from local farm, and they started selling them. And they raised money, you know, kind of built their own little business model and raised the money to sell the oranges and put it into the garden after they had raised the money. And that was a lesson in and of itself. But I guess what I'm saying is that it's all hands-on, mm-hmm. and it's coming from, we're just trying to come from the students. A student-centered approach. So what is it that you're interested in? What is it that you want to try out? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, there's definitely always a little bit of like, well, we don't know what we want to try out. So we, you know,
suggest something.
Give them some ideas and just kind of we work off of each other.
But you're always tying in the food aspect as much as you possibly can,
mm-hmm.
to connect them back to what can be done with food beyond
right.
growing and we will hear about what that does for the children when we come back right after the break. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. And with us in the studio is Mary Ann Brooks, Urban Youth Development Coordinator at Pi Ranch. For more information, go to piranch.org. We'll be right back after the break.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Spotica Skincare. Founded by Janet League Katzen, Spotica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Spotica Skincare products and the Spotica Spa, visit spotica.com. That's SPHATIKA.com.
Produce is ever-changing, seasons coming and going. At Earls Organic, we have been sourcing solely organic produce for over 20 years. Since 1988, Earls Organic Produce has been establishing strong relationships with growers and developing a deep understanding of the seasons, so you can offer the most delicious organic produce to your customers, staff, and clients year-round. For organic produce, visit Earls Organic Produce at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
For the ultimate West Marin experience, visit Toby's Feed Barn in Point Reyes Station, home of the Point Reyes Farmers Market every Saturday. Toby's Feed Barn features organic produce, native plants, gifts, books, an organic coffee bar, an art gallery, concerts, even daily yoga classes. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station, open 7 days a week, family-owned and operated since 1942, a West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Marin Organic, an association of organic food producers in Marin County, California, is helping to create a healthy and sustainable food shed just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. A model for how to feed a region in a way that is economically viable, environmentally sound, socially just, and culturally appropriate. The opportunity to change the world is right on our plates. Be a part of the solution. For more information on Marin Organic and how to support its efforts, visit marinorganic.org.
And we are back here to An Organic Conversation as part of the Green Morning. An entire morning dedicated to your health, holistic nutrition, eco-travel, and food advocacy. The Green Morning every Saturday from 9 to 12:30 here on Green 960. For more information, visit thegreenmorning.com. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us in the studio today is Mary Ann Brooks, Urban Youth Development Coordinator at Pi Ranch, an organization dedicated to inspire and connect rural and urban people, and specifically youth, to know the source of their food. For more information, visit piranch.org.
So, Mary Ann, before we went on the break, we were starting to talk about the programs that you're part of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, can you just give us a little breakdown on, because there's several different ways that this works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, what are the different types of programs that that you're offering, or you're part of?
Right. So, we have... We offer to our partner schools and also to other schools that are not a part of the kind of urban San Francisco group, day-long trips, which usually last, you know, for about 4 hours. And the students get a tour of the farm and they get to harvest and cook their own food mm-hmm. and make pie and also get to know the animals. And then we have an overnight trip where they get a more in-depth experience with, you know, the farm and actually doing farm activities and moving the chickens and, you know, stuff like that, more hands-on. And then we have week-long trips where schools come out and they have a full immersion of what it's like to be at a sustainable farm. And they also get to incorporate their curriculum into that entire week of farming. So those are the programs that we offer. And we also really encourage schools that we work with to have repeat visits so that each time they come, they can build on the last time. And with Mission High School, we've been working on, and also with John O'Connell, the students who we've worked with from 1 year to come again the next year. So mm-hmm. that's what we're building on, is this kind of long-term relationship with the youth. So they grow up through ninth through 12th grade with this experience.
And it's different seasons, right? If they come 2-3 times a year.
Right.
They go through the spring, summer, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a summer-specific program?
Right now I'm working with John O'Connell High School through their Gear Up program, and they will be coming to Pie Ranch, and we're doing field trips. It's a 2-week program, so it's short.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those students, they're all going into ninth grade, are also going to be in high school when I'm there in the fall. So they'll be getting more of a connection once they get back to school.
So can you tell us, during the break we were talking about how often if you're not connected to the natural world and then you are connected to the natural world, how that can be sometimes
scary.
Can be scary or startling or amazing and wonderful and all of those things. Can you tell us maybe a story that, in your experience of how some of the kids have reacted to this experience?
Yeah. We had an overnight with a class that I've been working with since last September. And there was one student who would literally walk out of class whenever we
just wouldn't participate.
Yeah. Whenever we had the garden class. And we go in the overnight and she is completely a different person. I mean, she was really happy, which, most of the time she has a scowl on her face. And her teacher and I were observing her the entire time, and just each hour her spirits were, getting higher and higher. And at one point we were on a tour of the farm and we're feeding the cow chard, both of the cows chard. And I had a huge, huge stalk of overgrown chard in my hand. And she snatches it out of my hand and feeds it to the cow with so much determination, that we hadn't ever seen in class. And the cows, of course, are happy about this situation because they want to be fed. But it was a small gesture, but it meant so much to us to see her so engaged and so just totally bought in mm-hmm. to what we were doing. And then when I came back it was like the last day of school. She was in class talking to her teacher about her grades and how she wanted to succeed further, because basically at the beginning of the school year, she was failing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so there, the transition not only happened with the overnight field trip where she, there's this kind of uplifting of the spirits, but also just a different kind of an engagement and to see her engaging in her academics
mm-hmm.
more after that experience was also an indicator to me that this is what's working.
Yeah, when we understand our role in nature that we are a part of, that's one of the most empowering things we can experience. And with us on the phone now is somebody who has a lot of experience and has observed amazing changes over the last 30 years of him being involved in particularly school food. Miguel Villarreal, the director food and nutritional services and Novato wellness coordinator at the Novato Unified School District in Marin County, California. Miguel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Helga.
Great to have you. Thanks for making the time. Tell us your situation. How many kids are you feeding every day in your school district? And what have you seen over the years? Where's your passion coming from? Because, again, you have been in this work for 30 years, right?
Yeah, correct. So here in Novato, we're feeding about 4,500 students, and that's breakfast and lunch. And some of the thing that I'm most proud of is the fact that we've actually had we serve as almost as many students for breakfast as we serve students for lunch. And, you know, we know all the benefits of that. And so in terms of the importance, I mean, these are things that I've known for years as a nutritionist and working in schools and trying to implement, but knowing that there was all kinds of obstacles, and whether it be budget or administration or just, you know, these things that are in the way. And so the last 8 years that I've worked here, actually 9 years now here in Novato, I've said, okay, I know what the obstacles are, but how can we get around those? And so I've spent the last 10 years just, you know, making sure, or 9 years, making sure that we get around as many obstacles, whether it be budget or whether it be, you know, facilities that we sorely lack or staff that we lack, and just looking at what is available. And so one of the things, as you well know, is our gleaning program. I mean, that's our farms that are right here in Marin County. How do we utilize those farms to bring that food into our schools? And through gleaning, we've been able to do that. And certainly one of the things that one of my goals is to continue to expand that program, both in terms of what we're doing in the food service program, but also expand knowledge in and around the community to our parents and to our students, to really have them understand the importance of what we're doing with trying to bring organic foods. And again, it's a large part of it, and you've heard me say this before, is it's about educating not only our students, but our community at large in terms of, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing.
Hey, Miguel, this is Mark Mulcahy, and I was wondering, can you explain to our listeners, maybe those who don't know what gleaning is, what you mean by the gleaning program?
Okay, well, certainly. So gleaning, this is something that with through Marin Organics is what we've been able to acquire, but gleaning is basically through Marin Organics and, of course, collaborating with the food service program. Is going out to farms and taking produce that normally wouldn't be available for market and/or produce that, you know, that had been in some farms that the farmers overproduce. So they have too much spinach, for example, and so going out into the fields and saying, okay, you know, here's the spinach or whatever that's already been picked over, but there's still lots of it in the field that's good for, you know, for the purpose that we're serving it on our menu, and we then take that product and getting volunteers to come out to the fields and pick the product, and we box it up. And again, all coordinated through Marin Organic, put it in the Marin Organic truck, and we've got a schedule. So we do this every Monday from 4 to 6. And that product, what's nice about this is that product, it's within a 20-mile radius, usually these farms, and it's delivered the very next day. So it comes out of the field on Monday, delivered to the schools on Tuesday, and then it's on the menu on Wednesday. So it's the highest nutrient source that you can get. Not to mention the fact that it's all organic, so that we have literally no pesticides in this product. So the gleaning portion of it has allowed us, because we received the gleaning, the product at no cost to us, other than a small transportation cost. But other than that, it's if they've got 20 boxes of spinach, and if I can use them all, I get those 20 boxes of spinach. And as I was saying earlier to another group, is that sometimes it offsets as much as 25% of my produce cost, which is significant because that's dollars that I can use my budget to purchase other whole foods in my program.
You're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg. And on the phone with us today is Miguel Villarreal, the Director of Food and Nutritional Services and Novato Wellness Coordinator at the Novato Unified School District in Marin County. Yes, Miguel, it's interesting to note that throughout the nation, up to 20% of all foods that are produced don't end up in the marketplace. They don't quite meet the strict market requirements for aesthetics in many cases. So a little bit of discoloration, a little bit of crookedness, if they don't grow right, they're usually plowed under. So the abundance of what can be done within the strict budget requirements that you have, that you work within, there's still a lot of abundance if you have local farms nearby.
But
there's still a bunch of issues around food policy and the childhood or the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act. How do you work with that? You have been extremely creative and definitely gone the extra miles to make it work. Just the availability of local and organic foods is one critical step, but then bringing it to the schools and having the schools and the food service directors work with that is a completely different conversation. How have you been able to establish that program in Novato?
Well, for me, it's just been a series of steps that I've taken over the years. So, I mean, initially, I didn't start off with looking at our local farms, but within a year or two after being here in our district, and of course, as I said, it's a series of steps, and utilizing our local, certainly for me, our local farms are critical, but also utilizing local vendors. So we've got, for example, we have our Clover, our milk company that's just, 15 miles up the street. And we've got I'm utilizing some other products like burritos that we're utilizing and we're bringing into our schools because they're using, it's made fresh and so forth. So for me, it's about utilizing local products as much as possible in our program, supporting the economy, understanding that the amount. I mean, we're serving 4,500 meals, so we're spending a lot of money on food. And my goal has always been about keeping the money here in our county, just reinvesting it, and of course, also employing employees that are local and contributing to the economy. So it's just goes full circle in terms of what we've been trying to do. And so, as I said before, it is easier sometimes to go out and buy something that's frozen, that's been packaged out in somewhere in Ohio and bring it in. It's frozen, bring it in a box. But is it really the right thing to do for children? I don't believe it is. Even if it has all the nutritional requirements, I want to provide our students with as many fresh foods and whole foods as possible. So we're working hard with reauthorization. The primary thing is the funding mechanism. They're looking at about another 6 cent increase, and so when you only have about a dollar to provide a meal, 6 cents doesn't go very far. So we're working hard on the legislative side to really have people, make it a priority in terms of the health of the health of our children and of our society. So
Miguel, with that, you just mentioned that you threw a couple things in there pretty quickly, and I just want to make sure for our listeners, is you said that schools roughly now have about a dollar to spend on ingredients, and you're about ready to get 6 cents. Now, is that 6 cents a direct result of the Improving Nutrition for American Children Act?
That's correct.
And so has that actually been passed?
Nope.
Or
it hasn't, not yet.
But it's being considered, right?
It's being considered. And
be cut in half, right?
Correct.
The 6 cents.
President Obama had originally proposed was $1 billion to the National School Lunch Program for the next 10 years, every year. And so what we've estimated that $1 billion was going to account for about close to 30-35 cents per meal. And so, but, you know, after it's been to the Senate, it's been to the House, and what the bill's actually looking like right now is far less than the $1 billion. So we're still advocating for $1 billion, but what's in the package right now is far less, and it's actually, as I said, equating to about 6 cents, but it has not been passed.
Do you get enough support from the White House in this regard? Because it seems that Michelle Obama and her Move On campaign so dedicated to this cause. You have great allies in that regard. And
absolutely,
how do you work with that?
Well, having there were several of us from the state of California that were just in D.C.
A couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Well, even a couple of weeks ago, but even even earlier than that, actually a few months ago. Mm-hmm. We were there for what we call our Legislative Action Conference. It's food service directors from around the country. And we were able to meet with First Lady's staff and talk about some of the initiatives that we were putting in place in California. And certainly having the First Lady put her face behind this very important issue has been critical, and certainly has put us in front and center. And so it's been a great she's done a great job in terms of promoting our cause and what we're needing to do. So, you know, what we don't want to see is we all want the right things. We all, you know, many of us want to provide healthy foods, whole foods. But many times these mandates come without any additional funding. And that's where it becomes even increasingly difficult because that dollar now shrinks and you've got additional mandates, which are, you know, we're all in agreement that these mandates are important. Such as providing, you know, healthier foods, but without any additional funding, it's just next to impossible.
Miguel, how can people support you or read up on your story, be inspired, learn? Do you have a website dedicated to this?
We do. It's you can find the food service program and information about the food service program on www.nusd.org, and just click on either student wellness and or menus, and that will get you to that, and then you can just navigate in there, and it talks about the collaborative partners and some of the things that we're doing here in Marin and to improve our programs.
Fantastic. That's, again, NUSD.org, and also on the school lunch and gleaning program specifically, you can go to marinorganic.org. Thank you so much, Miguel, for joining us today. Miguel Villarreal, the Director of Food and Nutritional Services and Novato Wellness Coordinator at the Novato Unified School District in Marin County, California, a leader when it comes to healthier lunches and breakfasts for kids. Thanks, Miguel, for being part of the show today.
Thank you, Helga.
You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helga Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us in the studio still is Mary Ann Brooks, Urban Youth Development Coordinator at Pi Ranch, an organization dedicated to inspire and connect rural and urban people to know the source of their food. More about Pi Ranch and Mary Ann Brooks' experiences when we come back right after the break.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my generation.
Things they do look awful.
Talking about my generation.
I hope I die before I get old.
Talking about my generation.
Take my generation, baby. Why don't you all fade away? Don't try and dig what we all say.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Spotica Skincare. Founded by Janet Lee Katzen, Spotica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Spotica Skincare products and the Spotica Spa, visit spotica.com. That's SPHATIKA.com.
Hi, my name is Earl Herrick. I started Earl's Organic Produce over 20 years ago to bring the best certified organic produce to the San Francisco Bay Area. Still today, Earl's Organic Produce is sourcing only organic fruits and vegetables. Our core principle is healthy relationships with growers, the environment, and the clients we serve. If you are a business interested in offering the most delicious organic produce to your customers, please visit us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you looking for a romantic and unusual location in the Bay Area for your wedding or upcoming anniversary? Toby's Feed Barn offers the perfect venue for your celebration. A rustic barn in the heart of beautiful West Marin, with local organic caterers ready to delight your guests amid bales of hay. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station. Open 7 days a week. Family owned and operated since 1942. A West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful. Made by local Bay Area artists and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco. Or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we are talking about pies, Pie Ranch, and actually literally pies. Guest in the studio is Mary Ann Brooks, Urban Youth Development Coordinator at Pie Ranch, an organization and a farm dedicated to inspire and connect rural and urban youth to know the source of their food.
Marianne, I noticed that while Miguel was on, you were writing feverishly over there on a piece of paper. And I was wondering, what are your thoughts on working with food service in schools, and what has been your experience while you've been doing this program?
Right. Well, in the schools, there's a challenge of working with the food system within the actual school district, because that's already something that's in place. And so the way that we've had to work with that is really creatively. So for one example, there's other programs within schools. Some school, John O'Connell had a culinary program. Mission High School has a cooking, after school cooking program. So we connect Pie Ranch, like I'll bring strawberries for the cooking program. And some of the students who work in the garden who also work with the cooking program. Mm-hmm. And we come together and we have tastings. At John O'Connell, the culinary program has been cut. So next year they won't have a culinary program, but I'm talking to the administrators and the teachers about possibly baking pies, you know, during the school year, and using some of the produce from the garden that we've already been growing at John O'Connell, and also bringing in produce and seeds from Pie Ranch to assist with what the schools are trying to do. So we have to be really creative. And then there's Mission Pie. And so some of the students from Mission High School work at Mission Pie and have that direct experience with the produce coming from Pie Ranch and the wheat, some of the produce and some of the wheat coming from Pie Ranch that goes into the pies that they bake at Mission Pie. So we have creative ways of getting students involved in these direct experiences with the food. And, you know, we want them to see where it comes from seed to table. We have to be really creative about it at this point, because we haven't been able to move into that food system that's in place at the high schools.
And it, you know, it's so critical and so important to bring youth out into nature, to a farm, have them really not just see but hands-on experience both where the food comes from, how it tastes. You told us the story, beautiful, about this girl who then, you know, felt empowered enough to feed an animal, and how that the effect it had on her grades and on her school performance. But it must be difficult for them to come back into the school and see the limitations within the food service director has to work with to offer healthy lunches, which we are, you know, so far away in many cases because of tight budgets, as Miguel Villarreal just explained. How do you stay? What's the most rewarding part of that work? Because you're handling a lot of different aspects. Like, you have this youth, you bring them out, they're excited, you bring them back, you're seeing the limitations or challenges within the food system at that school. What's the most rewarding work? How do you stay inspired?
I think the most rewarding work is knowing that these youth, I'm going to see these youth again. I'm going to see them in the fall, not all of them, but a large portion of them. And they're going to see me, and you know, we've already built a relationship. Empire Ranch is really about building relationships with the land, the environment, with each other, with food. And so it's a cycle that connects. And so that's what inspires me, is that, you know, the work is never finished on any level. And if I see, and I live in the Mission District, so I see students that I work with, and you know, I'm there at the school during the summer. So there's this constant presence of how, you know, Pie Ranch, the actual place, is connected to the Mission District, San Francisco, the actual place, which is connected to, you know, another urban garden within the Mission that's feeding, you know, people within the community. And so, and then there's, you know, Rainbow Grocery or Byright. And these places are places that also support what we're doing, and then there's farmers markets, and so I think that it's definitely something that's, I have to keep in mind that it's my community, and it's all about transforming my community and looking at my own behavior, you know, looking at how, what choices I'm making on a daily basis. And so There's the real lived experience that I'm sharing with my students, and so that they don't see that this is something that's so far from where they are.
So do they understand that? Like, I just got the notion that these challenges are actually extremely valuable, right? Mm-hmm. Because what the youth might be seeing is that it takes that determination and passion and time and patience for changes to occur, but that they are possible. But does the youth understand that? Do they see that? Or are they frustrated when they come back and see that the food in their school is not quite there yet?
They're both. Yesterday I worked with some youth for the first time, and we went on a field trip to Rainbow Grocery. And
which is
a co-op in San Francisco, all predominantly organic and worker-owned collective. And so we went on a field trip there just so they could get a sense of what that was like to see this worker co-op, and also to be introduced to all these organic foods. And they had to choose three snacks. And so that was a big, as a group, so that, you know, the whole collective mm-hmm. mindset. Mm-hmm. And so that was a huge challenge for them, of finding snacks of nutritional value, even in a place like Rainbow Grocery.
That they wanted to eat.
So when it came down to it, they had a really interesting conversation about it. And this is not something that we as teachers had taught them, but mm-hmm. they already know what is healthy for them, and they already know what is not healthy for them. They're engaged in that discussion about, well, are there chips better, or is this organic milk going to be better, mm-hmm. or is this chocolate cake going to be better? And so we have these conversations with them, and also just let them talk it out to figure out, well, what do I like, and what is this, how is this going to be helpful, nutritional mm-hmm. to me? Mm-hmm.
What a, you know, cooperation does come about when it's allowed to, and when you create an environment for which people to
for people to participate in that. And listening to your story, I was just sitting there smiling, because people do want to cooperate. You know, we hear all these things about how people don't want to cooperate and, you know, people not working together. But my experience is that if you allow it to happen, people do want to cooperate. They really do. So how do you get funded? How do you get funded for this work? I know there's some grants and there's some, pie bake sales.
I wish. We get outside funding from foundations and individual donors for the work that we do with our programs, mm-hmm. and also for just the land that we've been able to farm on.
So you do harvest real crops and sell them at farmers markets, for example?
Mm-hmm, that's part of the how Pie Ranch makes its money also, yes.
So foundation
we have
grants.
A farm stand that functions every weekend.
Mm-hmm. Sells pie.
We also sell our produce to places like Mission Pie mm-hmm. and the Mission mm-hmm. and other small businesses.
How can people support you if people wanted to get involved and they're not here in the Bay Area?
Mm-hmm.
Can people make donations online?
Or yes. What's
the, yes.
People can go to our website and can always make donations, personal donations online through our website.
And what is that?
It's pyranch.org.
Okay. And I have a question for you. I've been sitting here listening to you and completely inspired by the work you're doing. And you have this beautiful smile while you're telling these stories. And I can't help but grin when I'm listening to you because of this fantastic work. And I know that that's the change that creates a better world for all of us. But, you know, where did you get your inspiration from? Where did you said you were working in gardens and before you even started with Pie Ranch, at the beginning of the hour, you started back here. And so I kept going, okay, where did that come from for her?
Mm. Well, my great grandmother, Betty Chambers, was a gardener and she always had roses in her backyard and she had a plot where she would take us and when we were children in Hartford, Connecticut. And she grew the biggest collard greens I've ever seen. And I think, you know, just that early memory of that garden and of her roses and just her story. She was a migrant worker. And my dad also, they migrated from the South to Granby, Connecticut as picking potatoes. Those stories, you know, they're just a part of me. And mm-hmm. I think that was the original, that's always been with me. And that's the original inspiration of how I even started doing this work.
Mm-hmm. See, it's like when we are exposed to it, it'll stick. Nature sticks. It's a sticky thing. Thank you so much. With us here in the studio today, Mary Ann Brooks, Urban Youth Development Coordinator at Pie Ranch, an organization and farm here in Northern California, dedicated to inspire and connect rural and urban people and youth to know the source of their food. Again, that website is pyranch.org. And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thank you, Mary Ann, for coming to the studio today.
Thank you.
Pleasure. And on the phone with us today was also Miguel Villarreal, the Director of the Food and Nutritional Services at the Nevada Unified School District in Marin County, California. For more information on that program, go to nusd.org.
An Organic Conversation is produced by our wonderful Heidi Hartley, production assistant, the amazing, amazing Gina Restante. Underwriting production is provided by The Ear, the one and only Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all. And as always, thanks to our team here at Green 960, our very own Fab Four, Corey Cowart, Mark Magnone, Chris Gardnier, and Ricky Falaire. Also, always thank you to our listeners for being part of the show and for actually listening.
For blogs and podcasts and more information on this show, go to anorganicconversation.com. Coming up right here after the hour is Your Supernatural Life with Beth Greer. So stay tuned. We're your host, Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be back next Saturday. Thanks again for listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960.
It's impossible, if possible, that whose blind word so clear is so well.